Okay, welcome back. Organizing, getting things squared away, as they say here. We have a lot of information for you again. I don't watch the mainstream media, so I don't know what they're headlining. I don't know what their editorial content is. I could probably guess, but I would also guess that it bears scant resemblance to the truth, at least in terms of prioritizing reality. It's not there. And they're not talking about the things you're going to hear tonight on the few videos that we've put together for you and some of our other issues. What we try to do, again, is to bring this home, that it's real, it's happening, it's not slowing down, and people who are in denial, that's fine, that's your choice. You just say, no, it's not real. And laugh at me. I don't care. I've been doing this a while, and I have a pretty good sense of what's true and what's not true. And what we present is as true as I can possibly get it. And speaking for Erica, too, we're not playing games here. This is not fun. It's the biggest crime committed against humankind ever. It should be front page, but we don't have an independent media, so it can't be front page. Never going to happen. So they're going to keep lying to you, lie of omission. They just won't report it. So we try and do that. And look, we'd be the first to tell you, this is not fun stuff. And we understand why your friends don't want to talk about it, especially your vaxxed friends. And you people out there who are vaxxed, you mean every bit as much to us as the people who aren't vaxxed. You know that by now. We're trying to help everyone with as much truth as we can. And unless you know your enemy, you haven't got a prayer. And your enemy came through a needle, but beyond that, who put that concoction together and called it a vax? It's a death vax. It's what it is. We know that. It's not a vaccine. It had nothing to do with vaccinations, except a needle. Hello there, young lady.
Hello.
been playing chess by yourself lately, or checkers, or anything fun? What are you doing?
No.
See?
No, just keeping up with the insanity.
That's not a fun job, and I
no,
hope,
it's the carnage is all over the place now. You don't have to look very far.
Perfect word, precisely, exactly the perfect word. This is a worldwide, global genocide. I hate to use that word over and over again, but it's worse than that. It's a planned massacre of humanity. And it's happening. It's really happening. Never mind what the mainstream media tells you. And last hour, Don Jeffries was on, and I think many of you were listening, and he correctly, I think, identified the fact that, and what we've been saying for some time, directly and indirectly, is that the alt-news world is becoming dominant and is every bit as treacherous as the mainstream media ever was, and worse. And I think that a lot of the names who are being pushed around, like Musk, etc., as the kingpins of the alt-news world, because they're wonderful people, it's all a setup. All of it. It's easy to do. It's not a problem when you own the game. And they own it. All of it. So, there. I'm going to stop talking now. Oh, I should mention geopolitics here, just for a minute. The Russians have a small group of warships now on station in international waters off the east coast of Florida. Off West Palm Beach out there. I don't know where they are, 100 miles, something like that. And people are starting to panic and all. What are we doing to Russia in Ukraine, which shares a border with Russia? And Russia has physically been under assault with American weapons for the last year plus, as fired by, in many cases, American and NATO crews. Understand, we are at war with Russia right now. So they send some warships over here. Big deal. I'm surprised they haven't put nukes in Cuba, maybe Mexico, maybe Venezuela, and aimed them all at the U.S. They're well within their right to do that. I'm surprised they haven't retaliated appropriately yet. to some of the attacks on Russian cities, on Russian people, on infrastructure targets, like I think it's 4 or 5 refineries hit. There's another one. Anyway, these attacks are being obviously coordinated and arranged by American intelligence, military planning, and paid for with American taxpayers' weapons. Now, this is all for real. We are, in fact, at war with Russia right now. So I think all of you know that. And this goes hand in hand with the vax program. They rolled it out. They've got it where they want it. They've sown their satanic oats of death. And they're in total control of this damn planet now. It's the same people. So just understand, don't jump to conclusions. Most of you out there are really exceptional, wonderful people. And I really should take a moment to thank you for your notes. I get some very humbling emails. But the nicest part of these emails aren't necessarily the nice words I hear and read, but to see how well informed you are. You all really get it. You're the best audience out there, and I've said that forever, and I mean it. So thank you for all that. Okay, first up tonight, Francis Boyle. Francis Boyle goes way back. He's been around a long time, and he's got, as usual, a very good handle on the basics, the age of the mRNA and all the rest of it. You want to set this up, any? I've got the 1 minute and 52. Is that the first one or is that the second one?
I think that's the first one. He did an interview.
I got
1
minute 57.
Ago.
I'm sorry, and 1 minute and 52. All right.
It doesn't matter. You know, it's of the same interview, which was a little bit over an hour, I think. Right. But he's being interviewed by none other than Colonel Douglas McGregor. And they're talking about the bioweapon. Now, Francis Boyle was drafted the bioweapons treaty that we should have been abiding by.
Abiding by, uh-huh.
Yeah. And so he's well-versed on the topic of you know, bioweapons, the proliferation of bioweapons, which should not be happening. And so he's giving his commentary on what has taken place over the past few years and what we could or should do about it.
Right. Boyle's been around. Rights is his specialty.
Right.
Professor of international law somewhere in Illinois. What else? He's been a real player for humanity and a fighter for let's save the planet and the species.
Back in 2010, was he attempting to take action through the International Criminal Court against Bush and Cheney?
I remember that, and let me look it up here, see if I can find it. The Bosnia-Herzegovina thing, the bombing of Serbia, he was involved then.
I'm looking here, April 2018, Boyle gave a statement regarding Trump's missile strike in Syria, asserting that it was a violation of multiple charters and legal statutes.
Of course. Yeah.
A crime against peace and an illegal and impeachable offense. In a column, Boyle referred to Trump as another representative for U.S. imperialism and neoliberal capitalism.
Right.
Well, he had his number.
Yes, he sure did. Look what's going on, and yet you see these... when Trump holds a rally, he just had one in Ocala, Florida. I don't know, there might have been 40,000 people there. I'm not sure if they really understand this guy for what and who he is and are just holding on to him and backing him with the faint hope that he might actually do something if he gets another 4 years to play games. But he will do nothing more than he is allowed to do. You all know that. You know that it's absolute, the control. that these people are under. Men, women, it doesn't matter. They are controlled. And you look at the former U.S. Congress, when we had at least a quasi-representative sample of people there, and look what we have now. It's a Bolshevik body of communism. The House, the Senate, it's a joke. And how many Republicans in the Senate have turned into raging rhinos and voted the opposite of what they should? Lots of them. So I don't know how we can say that we have any real control over our own destiny as a country anymore. I don't think we, the people, do. Sorry to say it. I really am. It makes me sick. All right. Here's Francis Boyle. And, okay, let's see. Legitimate vaccines out there. He calls the vaccines Franken-shots. That's good. It's okay. Boyle goes on to say that, quote, it was the Pentagon Defense Advanced Research Program Agency, DARPA, that envisioned and funded this mRNA technology that is behind all of these Franken-shots. Boyle added that these mRNA injections give you particles of COVID-19 that get injected into your body. They are injecting into your body particles of an offensive biological warfare weapon with gain-of-function properties. Okay, that's a for sure. All right, here we go. This is short.
So to get to your point on the vaccines, Colonel, the Food and Drug Administration was involved in the development of COVID-19, the offensive biological warfare weapon. And today, as we speak, Colonel, it has been the Food and Drug Administration that has approved all these COVID-19 vaccines. So they helped develop the weapon, and now they are approving these so-called vaccines. As for the vaccines themselves, I'm not part of any anti-vax movement. I call them Franken-shots. To distinguish them, there are some legitimate vaccines out there, but I call these things Franken-shots. It was the Pentagon Defense Advanced Research Program Agency that envisioned and funded this mRNA technology that is behind all these Franken-shots. So they have us coming and going, Colonel. These mRNA, they give you particles of COVID-19 that get injected into your body. They are injecting into your body particles of an offensive biological warfare weapon with gain-of-function properties being injected into your body. And that is why we're seeing so many excess deaths, adverse events, and things of this nature, Colonel.
Yeah, okay. I think that's kind of a middle-of-the-road way to say it. I'd use different language. I would not call this a vaccine on a bet, even conversationally, without trying to qualify it at least. It's simply a weapon. And it is a damned, insidiously evil one at that. And we've made that point. If we've made any point abundantly clear, I hope it's that one, that this thing is so diabolically diverse in how it breaks down life as to be overwhelming. And we've brought you the stories of many people, many intelligent people who have been vax, in quotes, injured, bioweapon injured, and they have tried everything imaginable to stop the decline of their physiology. And they have not been successful. And these people, some of them are beyond heroic. And everyone out there who's vax injured is a hero. They are fighting through hell and trying to survive. This is not... something for wimps. This is a very, very bad and dark thing that's been done to us.
Yes, it has.
Okay, we have another clip with Professor Boyle. And short as well. Let's see what this says.
I did want to say, though, a few words about the need to oppose the World Health Organization.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry.
And,
please, open fire. Open fire on the World Health Organization.
It's all related. It's all part and parcel of the same thing here. It's the same forces behind the COVID pandemic who are now behind the World Health Organization treaty and these proposed regulations. These orders, you've also seen not only the deleterious advice coming out from the CDC and the FDA, but the WHO too. They're all in on this together. And I have read the WHO treaty and the WHO regulations that will be considered in May at the World Health Assembly. And let me say this. I've studied international organizations since I was a law student at Harvard with the world's leading expert on this subject. And then I spent a year teaching that subject at Harvard and several years teaching it here. And in my own scholarly work, I've studied every international organization going back to the 1899 Hague Peace Conference. You can read my book, Foundations of World Order. And in all that study, this is the first time ever that I have read of a draft plan to create a totalitarian medical police state for the entire world.
That's exactly what it is. It seems to have run out of steam, at least temporarily. It has been beaten down a little bit here and there. Several countries have opposed it and said, no, we're not going there. So, well, they won't go away. They'll just come back later. They might even
repeat. They'll keep pushing it, yeah. And the U.S. is the one that's pushing the hardest.
Well, it's not us. The U.S. is now a communist Zionist dictatorship.
Yep.
And there's no other way to look at it. No, there's no excess in those words. It's all matter of fact.
Yeah.
I wish there was a way that we could reach more people. But thanks to you out there, we are. And you pass these programs along. Francis Boyle is 74, 75, something like that. He's been at this a long time, and he is a voice to be listened to. And Colonel McGregor, a great American. By the way, we tried to get Colonel McGregor on the program multiple times, but his guest screening said no because of the news on the website. It's a little bit too real, I think. He didn't want to upset and offend people, but whatever. He is a very, very, very wonderful American patriot. All right, there we go with Dr. Boyle. Good. It's just to let you know that you're right, and we're right, and what we're saying is on the money. I really do, pardon me, I feel ambivalent to a degree, but I ultimately feel like I wish I could do more to help those who don't get it and are in denial, and who have bought on and bought in to some of the BS crap on the alt news page. We try our very best to expose that for the trash that it is, but sometimes we just can't do any more than we're doing. With your help, though, if you do want to push these programs, you they're yours, so make of them what you will.
Yeah, good. No, most of it is just, it's garbage. You know, it's designed to entertain, distract, and mislead. You know, there's probably, you know, a thread of truth. There is a thread of truth to a lot of it, but a lot of it's just there to keep you occupied and not really understanding everything that's happening.
Well, that's exactly it. Just, you know, keep look at this hand, don't look at the other one. It's all misdirection, all of it. All right, I'm queuing up our next video, which is well-titled, What the Nurses Saw. I think we saw some of this, didn't I? I recognize this.
Yeah, we played a clip from it last week. This was an interview that Steve Kirsch conducted.
With a nurse, some nurse.
And that particular one, that she was talking about the, well, death squad, supposedly, these travel nurses.
Black uniforms.
That had been hired. And I don't know. I can't, you know, maybe at some point we'll hear from a nurse that can corroborate that. But that particular nurse, Erin Marie Olszewski, is control opposition.
I believe it's pronounced Olszewski. I don't think you
Olszewski,
pronounce it
yeah.
L.
Yeah. She was planted to be part of, or to infiltrate the medical freedom movement early on. So that was her role. And I was sort of surprised to see her here still, playing this part. Mm-hmm. If you watch the video, you can tell. But this, this little piece right here that we're going to play is Ken McCarthy, and Ken McCarthy is an internet or alternative news content creator or narrative something or other. But he wrote a book that's probably worth reading about everything that happened within the hospital system.
Done a few things lately which thoroughly expose many hospitals as having literal death protocols for people that are entered into the hospital database and become patients. They really are being killed. There's murder being committed at many hospitals in this country. Many. Either through sheer ignorance or intent, or financial incentive, of course, probably underlying most of it. But these people are being killed. There's no doubt about it. None. Zero. We've said it many times. You better have an advocate, and you better make plans now, just in case. All right, here we go. Let's see what Nurse Olszewski says about what the nurses...
No, this is not her. This is this author, Ken McCarthy.
Oh, he's got the
floor?
Name
of the book. Yeah.
Got it.
He's introducing his book, which is called What the Nurses Knew.
He was going to bounce something off her. Yeah, all right, good. All right, very good. He's on the lower left of the screen then. Okay, so let's see what he says. This will be interesting. Because we, and those of you who have been listening for any length of time, know that we've had Nurse Anne on for a couple of years now, and you'll never get more incredible inside information from contemporary hospital policies as you will from Nurse Anne. She's, again, working right now in it. And if you missed the Nurse Lindsay House interview, conversation, more likely, a week ago, it's up there on the homepage. You might want to listen to that as well. All right, here we go.
To our next guest, Ken McCarthy. Ken, you were one of the early pioneers of the movement to commercialize the internet in the early 1990s. Time magazine credits you with being the first person to recognize and articulate the importance of the click-through rate as a key metric for making the internet commercially viable. You were introduced to the practice of science as an undergraduate at Princeton University, where you studied psychology and neuroscience. In August of 2020, you released the documentary Fauci's First Fraud, which was cited 28 times in the RFK Jr. book, The Real Anthony Fauci. You were the author of the new book, What the Nurses Saw, about the systemic medical murders that took place and continue to take place under cover of COVID hysteria. Welcome to VSRF Live, Ken, and thank you for all your work.
Can you hear us?
I'm here.
Great. That was funny. He said, Ken, can you hear us? And Ken just sat there and slightly nodded his head. He didn't say anything. That was funny. They were all waiting for him to speak. All right, he spoke. Interesting how he was involved with weaponizing the internet as a profit engine back in the early 90s. This is what he was doing. All right. Now look at it today.
And what motivated you to write this amazing book with these incredible nurses and respiratory therapists that we'll meet?
Well, it's a long story. I'm doing this. I'd like to make sure that I stay within my 5 minutes, which is difficult for me. So I've written some notes, and I'm going to go through them really quick, and it will answer your question. And I'm doing it because we have very important people on this call. We need to hear what they saw. We need to hear how they were treated when they honored their oaths and tried to protect their patients. And we also need to hear all the positive things that they're doing now in the face of this ongoing catastrophe in the hospitals, which is not over. We call them whistleblowers, which is accurate. But what they really are people who are dedicated to health, the health and well-being of other people. That's the profession they signed up for, and they are honoring their oath. So how the book came to be, after Aaron Olszewski came out in the spring of 2020, very early, with her eyewitness accounts of what she saw in the New York City hospitals, I was waiting for professional journalists and others to follow up. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and the years went by, and I said, I guess I better do it. So what the book shows is that the things Aaron reported were not just one badly run hospital, and it was not just a few bad apples. It was systemic. And it was not just a few individual tragedies. Unfortunately, that's the impression even people who follow the COVID situation very closely still believe, right? So let's address the scale of this thing. Let's look at the numbers in the U.S. 1,100,000 people are reported to have died of COVID. Over 900,000 of them died in a hospital or other medical setting.
That is a remarkable figure. First of all, I don't think it's 1 million. I'd multiply that by 10. But in any case, 90% of those who died from COVID, they were killed, died in hospitals. That's the death protocol. That's the remdesivir protocol. And, all right, let's see where he goes.
And what emerges from the book and the interviews is that the protocol used to treat people who had positive COVID tests treated in the hospitals completely contradicts all previous medical practice, wasn't based on anything that can be called science, and defied all common sense. And when it became...
Okay, that statement right there is probably the most difficult type of statement for the average person who doesn't understand that we have been attacked in a fatal sense with a bioweapon. That's the what he just said was the utter truth. Here, I'm going to see if I can play that again, just for the heck of it. 2249, I think that's what it was.
The book shows is that the things Aaron reported were not just one badly run hospital, and it was not just a few bad apples. It was systemic. And it was not just a few individual tragedies. Unfortunately, that's the impression even people who follow the COVID situation very closely still believe, right? So let's address the scale of this thing. Let's look at the numbers in the U.S. 1,100,000 people are reported to have died of COVID. Over 900,000 of them died in a hospital or other medical setting. And what emerges from the book and the interviews is that the protocol used to treat people who had positive COVID tests treated in the hospitals completely contradicts all previous medical practice, wasn't based on anything that can be called science, and defied all common sense. And when it became obvious that the protocols were harming and even killing people, the few nurses who stood up were demoted, fired, professionally blackballed, had their licenses challenged, and were tracked down by well-organized gangs of internet trolls. The book's 491 pages. It could have easily been 10 times that amount. In fact, what's needed is not just a book, but a serious commission on the scale of the investigations done after the JFK assassination, the Challenger disaster, and 9/11. There are many, many nurses and other healthcare professionals who need to be interviewed. Many surviving family members need to be interviewed, and many survivors need to be interviewed because they didn't kill everyone. And there are people whose health has been completely wrecked by the so-called treatment. There are potentially hundreds of thousands of families and survivors affected by this, right? So in addition to that, we need the hospital records. We're looking at some of them. We're examining them. Just the most garish, horrifying things come out when you actually study these records. And we need to look at all the death certificates. And here's the takeaway. This thing is not over. The system that did this is still in place, and for all practical purposes, is completely off radar of everybody. Turning this around is going to be a big project. If you'd like to help, go to whatthenursessaw.com. You can get the book there. You can order extra copies for your community and your library, which I hope you'll do. You can join the list of people who are interested in following the story as it develops. The title of the book, again, is What the Nurses Saw, and we have a website, whatthenursessaw.com. So that's my motivation, and that's what the book's about.
Thank you so much. We're actually putting the link in the chat as well. But yeah, I really appreciate you, Ken.
So bottom line, it sounds to me like do you think 90% or more of the COVID deaths were due to the medical community and not the virus?
You know, it's got so many moving parts, right? So I was very careful to say people who were said to have died of COVID. And this opens a big can of worms.
He also mentioned diagnosed with COVID. And the obvious question there is, what did they use to diagnose them with? PCR?
That's right. Yeah.
All right. So if that was, let's just for fun say, yes, they use PCR in 100% of the cases. The PCR is bogus. What is it, 95% or more? It's bogus. It's not used. It's not designed to be used to affirm a positive viral infection.
You know, a very short sequence of genetic material that, you know, it may be germane to the thing that you're trying to find or not. It's just a matching sequence. And if you're asymptomatic, what does that mean?
Right. Exactly.
You know, it's subject to interpretation. It's supposed to be used in conjunction with clinical symptoms. You can't just randomly test somebody with that and then make a diagnosis.
Nope. All right, here we go.
People actually had COVID who were put on these protocols. We don't know that. We don't know the answer to that question. How many people were put on remdesivir when it made no clinical sense at all? And how many of those people died or had their organs seriously injured? We don't know. How many people were rushed to intubation and event who in any other situation in the entire history of medicine would never have been put on event, because event is the last extreme that you go to? And Mark Bischofsky can really get into that in detail. So there's a lot of stuff we don't know, but I think the number is hundreds of thousands were killed by the protocols. And we've got precedents for this. I mean, this has happened before in other times in history where, you know, an ill-advised protocol was accepted. But here's the thing about this protocol. It was not only promulgated and disseminated, it was enforced with an iron fist. And that's one of the things we have in the book. We have the financial incentives that were given. There were incentives given to give remdesivir. There were incentives to put people on venting quickly.
How can medical science find itself in that kind of a situation where it's things like that are incentivized? I don't understand it. Monetized? You put somebody in a vent and you get paid for it.
Right.
That's not healing. That's not medicine. That's insane.
Yeah.
The cash register rang every time you ran somebody through a course of remdesivir. The cash register rang every time you put somebody, you intubated somebody and put them on a vent. It rang again when you kept somebody on a vent for more than 96 hours. And I hope Mark will address that, because it makes no clinical sense. It follows no historical precedent in medicine, and it makes no logical sense. So I can't give you the exact number. And I think it would take many, many people spending thousands of hours to start to drill down and figure out how many, but I'm going to guess hundreds of thousands.
If I remember correctly, I believe that hospitals, if they put on the death certificate, COVID, were also paid some kind of a stipend for that. Am I right? I think I'm right.
Yep.
All right.
And is there any precedent for this happening for any other condition? And why do you need to incentivize hospitals to put people, to give people remdesivir? Why do you need to incentivize hospitals to treat people, quote, correctly? Why would you need to incentivize hospitals? Shouldn't they be doing the right things on their own? Why the necessary force from above? Why is it necessary for them, for there to be protocols that doctors have to not deviate from and obey without question? Why is that necessary?
Yeah. And why was it necessary when experienced nurses stood up, spoke up, and said, hey, this isn't going well. This isn't the right thing to do. We're injuring people. We're killing people. Why were they shut down? Why were they fired? Why were they blackballed from their profession? Why were their licenses attacked? Why were trolls set after them? So there's a lot of moving parts here. There's whoever figured out this protocol. Then there's the people who figured out the incentives. And then there's the people who figured out the enforcement. So it doesn't look like an accident. Is, you know, I think we can safely assume it was no accident.
And so there's nothing, there's no precedent for what happened in all of history, as far as you know.
Well, if you look back at Fauci's other greatest hit back in the 1980s, he managed to get a drug called AZT, which had previously been banned for human use. He managed to speed that through, and he managed to, you know, tell everybody it was going to solve the AIDS crisis. And there are legitimate researchers that think at least 300,000 people were killed by AZT.
Oh, at least. AZT, for those of you who don't know, was a failed cancer chemotherapy protocol. And they pulled it off the shelf and rebranded it and gave it to AIDS victims. This is sheer mercenary outrage. And these people who took the AZT, their bone marrow was destroyed. The base of their entire immunological competency was destroyed.
Oh, that was toxic. Wasn't it a failed chemotherapy drug?
That's what I just mentioned.
It? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, they rebranded it. Exactly right.
So it not only has not that wasn't in the hospitals, right? But not only has it been done, it was done before under Fauci's watch.
Yeah.
Incredible. Well, Ken, thank you for coming on this evening. We're going to bring in several of the nurses that are featured in your book. So if you want to stick around a little bit, especially for Q&A, that would be wonderful if you have the time.
And hey, one quick question before you go, which is, you've talked to a lot of people.
You're a registered nurse who volunteered.
Okay, I jumped ahead here just a little. You'll hear this one nurse.
Front lines as a traveling nurse assigned to New York's Elmhurst Hospital during the COVID-19 pandemic.
This is the one who described the death, the black garbed death nurse squads, I believe.
Yeah, this is that Erin Marie Olszewski, the plant.
What you found there horrified you and inspired a new focus to your advocacy. Erin's book, The Undercover Epicenter Nurse, reveals how gross negligence, insurance fraud, medical malpractice, and good old-fashioned greed killed everyday Americans at Elmhurst and beyond. Thank you for joining.
So, Steve, if you remember, she was in your favorite documentary, The Time Is Now.
Yeah.
I remember you watched that. You were fantastic in that, Erin.
Okay, all right, that's enough. She's going to take her time getting into this. But, yeah, this isn't even on the table for debate anymore. America turned into a killing machine with regards to organized medicine and hospitalization of people who are improperly diagnosed as having COVID, because it just doesn't work. PCR does not work for this at all. And they are still to this day giving people without permission these death injections in hospitals. It's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's still happening. All right. Okay, we have one more video, we can jump into our reader file. How long is the other video?
Three and a half minutes. And this one is by John Bowden, who is from Massachusetts. He's been compiling ever since he was kicked out of law school because he wouldn't take the vax, spent his time looking into these fraudulent death certificates pertaining to COVID. And he now has, well, he claims it's probably the largest database of this type of record keeping, trying to match up the cause of death to the medical records and just seeing the all of the blatant fraud.
Okay. Start right at the beginning, or do I want to move up?
Yeah, it's ready to go.
I can tell you there are really two general patterns that really need to be looked at, whereas a whole group is looking at the what they call a vaccine. There's another group looking at hospital homicides. And I have to tell you, unfortunately, that it's both. In fact, the hospital homicides might be greater. The acute renal failure, so the sudden kidney failure, where you didn't have a problem before and all of a sudden you have a problem, seems to be occurring mostly in the hospitals. And it's occurring to the tune of about 100% increase. And not during the year of COVID, but rather when COVID, I should say, when the CMS.gov NCTAP program kicked in, that's on the web, you could find that, CMS.gov, and look for NCTAP. That's a payout program for the use of remdesivir. Now, I'm not saying it's remdesivir, because it goes with a greater protocol that the NIH, National Institutes of Health, put out. And that protocol includes a lot of things, including ventilators. Now, in 2020, there is a signal of acute renal failure. There's a signal. People were put on ventilators. They got lung infections. They weren't treated for bacterial infections, and they died, or they were treated for bacterial infections, and they were given vancomycin. There are many papers that show vancomycin kills the kidneys if you give too much, although I've had nephrologists tell me that I'm wrong about vancomycin being the killer here. But I don't think they've looked at any studies in combination with baricitinib or remdesivir or other things. The point is, I don't know. Doctors don't know. But all the data is sitting on government computers, and the government is purposely not looking at it because they killed more than 150,000 excess people, more than normal, in the last 3 years by acute renal failure alone, sudden kidney failure alone in the last 3 years. 153,000 Americans, and that's at ages much younger than COVID. And so if you look at it, you're looking at life years lost. You have to multiply by 10 compared to COVID. And COVID, as I've proven in my book and in the CDC memorandum, a second publication, 80 to 90% of the COVID deaths are fraud. They were drug overdoses and car accidents, and they were a bunch of old people dying out of neglect and being mistreated by hospitals, weren't given antibiotics when they had a bacterial infection in their lungs. These things all combined through a coercion of doctors from the American Board of Internal Medicine, Family Medicine, Pediatrics, the state licensing boards, the Federation of State Medical Boards, the NIH, FDA, CDC, all said the same thing. You will use this protocol or we're going to suspend your license. And you can find that on the web. The letter is still there. It's a joint statement by the CEOs of the American Board of Internal Medicine and the other two I mentioned. So with regard to all of the hospital protocols, I call it murder because at some level, somebody knew what they were doing. Now, all the doctors who did this in the individual hospitals, they will still hold their heads high and say, we're doing the best we can. We're doing what the CDC says, and we're trying to save people. And they genuinely believe that. That's not murder.
Did you really think they genuinely believe that after all this time? I really find that a stretch.
I know.
Some do. Some are idiot enough to do that. They know. Come on, these are professionals. They know if there's a massive tsunami of sudden renal failure in otherwise healthy people. They know something's wrong. I'm not going to give them a pass.
That's a mistake, and that's being a poor doctor and not rejecting the authority of central government. But the central government, there are people who created these protocols who I believe, they know what they're doing. And so more than 500,000 people killed by hospital protocols, another 500,000 killed by what they call a vaccine. I have all the data. I can show it. I now have 1.4 million unredacted, non-redacted death certificates. That represents 5% of the U.S. population. It's the biggest study, biggest database ever in anything COVID. You won't find anything like what I have.
All right. Well, there's more underwriting of the thesis that we're in the hands of mass murderers. And the public doesn't matter. And most every death leaves behind a trail of agony and heartache, and a lot of people are never the same when they lose someone very close. It's horrible what happens. And all of you listening, most of you listening, know people who have been murdered one way or the other. And I think that 1 million figure is way conservative. You'd have to analyze a hell of a lot of death certificates to try to pinpoint the ones that are obvious frauds in terms of cause of death. They're lying. And it was a monetized issue. It's like having a hit video on YouTube. You had enough of them, you'd get a lot of money.
The way they were treated in the hospital, but then now with these injections...
Yeah,
the deaths are also being mislabeled.
Correct.
They're not saying people died of the vax. They're saying they died of, a pre-existing heart condition or...
Right. They got 100 of them. Whatever. So many different things they can cite as an alleged cause of death. No. So what's going on here is really almost science fiction, but it's true. And that's the hardest part for a lot of people to accept, and I understand that. I do. Okay, let's jump over to our human files and take a look at some of these here. No luck with iron, confused about iron, post-vaccine cancer, serious shedding. I think we should spend time on that. Do you remember the thread at all?
Yeah.
All right. Serious shedding.
Okay.
Got it?
Yep.
Go.
Shedding is a deadly issue for us because my husband is living it right now. Chris was injured by inoculated clients by no fault of their own. He contracted vax transference syndrome through his work. He's a massage therapist, so this accounts for much of the working day with skin-to-skin contact.
No.
Neither of us took the inoculation.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, he had 78% spike proteins in his blood and blood clots. No signs of COVID, according to the COVID tests. We tested it 3 times.
Excuse me, did they come up with 78% spike in the blood?
That's a good question. I don't know.
What kind of a marker is that? I've never heard that before. Go ahead.
No signs of COVID, according to COVID tests. We tested it 3 times. In other words, he got this transfection of toxins through the shedding phenomenon by his clients that received the injection. He has been gravely sick and was perfectly healthy before this type of exposure to the injected. We have the live blood analysis to prove this. We have been fighting this biological war for over 5 months to clear his organs and organ systems. After many therapies and healings, his blood is now clear, but his brain is not. We are still fighting the fight. I share our story to bring awareness to this truth that is, for the most part, largely understudied, unknown, or overlooked.
Amen to that. I just don't understand. These people are reasonably aware, and yet he was still going off to work. It's his profession. I get it. Sweat to sweat, hands, skin to skin. He might as well have had sex with his clients. Not saying he did. But, I mean, that's the same kind of transmission that occurs when you do. This is science.
Yeah, well,
I think
a lot of people didn't know.
A lot of them didn't. But after 4 years, 3.5 years, they should. Shedding has been talked about. Especially
many people still don't know.
Wow. All right, here's another one.
She she continues, this is the same one.
Okay. My husband has been off work for a whole month due to vax transmission adverse effects. All right. We live in Cyprus and are doing many natural protocols. Mainstream medicine has done all the tests, but have nothing to justify such serious illness, nor have they offered any treatment of any kind. Chris is a certified physio-massage therapist. Mainstream doctors have agreed that through touching his patients, he contracted an unknown virus or bacteria that gave him jaundice, inflammation, and infection of the liver, pancreas, pathways. No previous health issues. He has energy, dumps in waves, and has lost all of his vitality. We need people to know, as there isn't much out there on the extent of shedding implications, symptoms, or treatment. If it wasn't for my training in healing, naturopathy, and TCM, I dread to think where he would be right now. We are doing ozone, 10-pass, IV natural protocols, plus detox methods via fasts and detox measures. We are still not out of the woods. I have an MS, and I have multiple sclerosis and Hashimoto's, therefore I work less than part-time. These are challenging times. However, we will not be coerced into using any harmful or dangerous substances. I'm wondering if there's anyone else out there with similar symptoms to her husband, Chris. Thanks for reading. All right, well, there you go. That's one story, two posts for it. Please keep in mind that unless, and it's impossible, the science of 3.5 years is completely insane and wrong, which it's not. When you go out and you put your raw hand on a shopping cart handle, you're picking up and exposing yourself to potential shedding directly through your skin. That is a fact, and I don't like it. But that's what the data says.
Anything. And I have even heard from people that are affected by shedding that touch screens, like at an ATM, is another place where
any
people
keys. Any of the keys, any of that, you got it.
Keys or the screen, you know, a lot of it's just, you know, you touch the screen. But whatever people are putting their hands on or fingers is another mode of transmission.
Well, they know that whatever that measurement of 78% spike in the blood was, that sounds almost fatal to me, but they know he's been hit.
You can't see it with a microscope, with your typical microscope, and so I don't know where that's coming from. I mean, how would you measure it? There's only one commercially available test right now to detect spike on its own, and that's the InCell DX by Dr. Bruce Patterson's lab. And that looks for spike in monocytes, your white blood cells. Other than that, there's no way to directly measure spike through any commercial lab right now.
No.
Remember, you could do the spike antibody test.
Yeah, that's all you can do is look for it. And that would seemingly require more than a few spike to generate an antibody response. I don't know how accurate it even is, but that's the only one that.
Well,
seems to
no,
be
it's
being
pretty, it's pretty accurate.
Used.
You know, if you've been exposed, there'll probably be antibodies if you're having symptoms.
Where do you go to find a GP? Isn't going to give you that test. You'll have to go to a lab, right?
You could probably order it through one of these, direct labs. There's many of them.
Right. All right. Well,
and
go ahead.
You could be tested for the spike antibodies to spike, and that will tell you if you've been exposed to the virus or just the shedding. And then if you ask for the nucleocapsid, antibodies to the nucleocapsid, that would indicate that you've been exposed, if it's positive, to the virus.
Got it.
And that's how you make the distinction.
Real quickly, what is the current spate of positive viral results when they're testing people? How current is the virus? How common is the bioweapon virus, the COVID virus? Is it still running loose now?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
We don't hear anything about it to speak of, except on this program.
It's endemic. It's continuing to generate variants.
Right. Wow. Well, all right. We have to say good night. Thank you for being here. Good job, as always, and we keep at it.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Good night, everyone. Yeah.